Let's all say amen. I want to thank the Lord this morning for allowing us to assemble here this morning. I want to say good morning to everyone and want to thank you for choosing this morning to worship with us at Highland Heights. Amen. I want to thank those that are with us this morning that are visiting with us this morning. We want you to know that you are our VIPs, our very important persons. I want to thank all those brothers that have preceded me in our worship service on this morning. I want to thank them for going ahead of me and making this worship service one that hopefully the Lord can be pleased with. Amen? Amen. And then I want to also share, as I like to, that our purpose for being here this morning is to worship God. We're here to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I'd like to begin by also sharing that there are five acts of worship. And the Bible tells us in the first time they assembled to worship God after His ascension, Christ's ascension, the Bible says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And breaking of bread and in prayer. So those are four acts of worship that we participate in. We're going to read from the apostles' doctrine on this morning. We also fellowship. Fellowship is when we share back with God what God has blessed us with. Amen? And then we have the breaking of bread when we take the Lord's Supper. We commune with the Lord. And as was stated this morning, our mind should reflect back to the suffering and the pain that Christ endured for all of us on the cross. We also have prayer. Then the Bible says in verse 47 that they were praising God, and we praise God with our lips. Hebrews 13, 15. We sing, giving praise and honor to God and having favored all the people. And the Bible says, and the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved. And I want to say and go on record this morning, if you're visiting with us, there's only two conditions one can be in while on this earth. You're either in the church, you've been added to the church, or you've not been added. Yeah. And so I want to say to those that are visiting this morning, I want you to understand, we want you to be added to the church. Because no one is saved from their sins until they have obeyed the Lord and been added to the church. Amen? Amen. And so it's my responsibility at the close of my message this morning to share with you specifically the five acts that God has commanded for one to be added to the church and to have their sins forgiven. That's my responsibility. And so I'll do that at the close of my message on this morning. But this morning, want to speak from the subject, honor widows that are widows indeed. God is concerned with healthy relationships in this congregation among the members. Yeah, God is. Healthy relationships involve the proper treatment of one another. The Apostle Paul begins chapter 5 discussing how the minister is to treat different ages and groups of Christians. Yeah, Paul did that. Remember, for those that are visiting, this is a letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, a young man who was going to be the preacher there in Ephesus. And he wrote the letter to him. But the letter is to be shared with the congregation. And so on this morning, we want to look at those relationships that we find in the Word of God how relationships ought to be. And Paul began chapter 5. By saying, rebuke not an elder. Excuse me, I've been struggling with my voice for the past few weeks, but hopefully the Lord will help me this morning. He says, but entreat him as a father and the younger men as brethren. So to begin with, Paul was telling the minister, you rebuke not an elder. And rebuke means when I'm not to speak harshly to any aged man that are of the age of my father. First thing. He said, but I am to, the word exhort means to encourage him, an elder man. You don't rebuke him. What you do, Brother Stroud, you encourage him as he's your father. Yeah. And he said, when it comes to those younger men, you are to have love for them. Yeah. So when it comes to the men in the church, those older men, I'm to respect you as I would my own father. Secondly, those brothers that are younger, that can be my younger brother or the age of me, I am to love you as a brother. Then he says, when it comes to the females, he said, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters. Then he qualified it. He said, with all purity. So when it comes to those senior age women that we have, I am to treat you as I would my mother. Then when it comes to those sisters in the church, the word purity means that my conduct and my intentions ought to be pure. Amen. Yeah. No impure thoughts or behaviors ought to be shown toward any sisters. This text gives a picture of how each group of Christians should be treated in the body of Christ by the preacher who serves as a model for the congregation. Yeah. Our relationships should be proper. And Paul was specifically sensitive when it comes to sisters. Make sure your thoughts and your intents are pure regarding sisters. Make sure your behavior is proper. And when it is not, sisters, you should call me and anyone else when their behavior is not proper. When a brother don't treat an aged sister like he would his mother, call him on that. When someone doesn't treat an aged man like a father, call them on that. We got to help each other. We shouldn't just allow behavior to persist and no one says anything about it. Yeah, we're trying to help each other. Go to heaven. And then when he got to the widows in the congregation, and that's my title, and I want us to see, Paul speaks of four conditions of widows in the church. We want to look at them and make sure that we are doing what is proper in God's eyesight according to them. And so he says in verse number 3, honor widows that are widows indeed. Involved in discussion are the treatment of members that become widows. Now the word honor means to respect and to provide support for their needs. Widows, by definition, is a woman whose husband has died. And the word indeed means actually, you have a widow whose husband has died. Then Paul says to Timothy, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. So now, in verse number 3, that's one widow. She's a widow indeed. In verse number 4, that's the second widow. Because this widow, Paul says, if this widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and pleasing before God. Well, now, what does that mean, Brother Stroud? Well, the word children means those whom she has given birth to. Those are her children. The word nephew in that context means descendants, or it applies to grandchildren. So the Lord says from verse 4 that if this widow, this is the second type of widow, if she have children or she have grandchildren, let them learn first to show piety at home. Piety is the obligation on the part of children and grandchildren to express in a practical way their dutifulness toward their own family. Yeah. Yeah. The care of any person should begin in the home. Those in the home have a responsibility to care for one another. The first criteria does have responsibilities from a resource standpoint. The first question is, does she have any resources? Does this widow have children or grandchildren? If she does, they have a responsibility to take care of their mother and their grandmother. Amen. Somebody ought to say amen. Sisters and brothers, we need to be saying amen to this. This needs to be taught in the church. And this is not optional. Yeah. So what are you saying, Brother? That means that this widow, the second widow, she got children and grandchildren, then they need to get together. And they need to talk about how we're going to take care of mama. Yeah, so that also means you ought to have a good relationship with one another. Amen. Yeah, because I've seen cases where if you're not careful, some children would allow all the responsibility to fall on certain children and they do nothing. That's, well, I'll talk about that. I'm going to tell you what it is before God. So that means this second widow, she got children or she got grandchildren. They supposed to get together. How are we going to coordinate? Well, you know, I work this time. You say, okay, so when you free? Well, you know, I have this day. Okay, so when you free? You know, I'm off on this day, so you free. Mama need to be taken care of. And the Lord says, it's the children. And the word requite means to give or to do something in return for something that another person has given or done for you. Look at Ephesians. Turn your Bible to Ephesians 4:28. Show you in the scripture. Let us use our Bibles this morning. Ephesians 4:28. Yeah, it's going to tell us what you have in that text. Ephesians 4:28. Get there with you. Yeah. Yeah. Now notice this here. This is part of the reason why you work. He said, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that need it. Part of the reason you work is to give back to your parents. Watch this here. They took care of you when you was helpless. Now you need to take care of them when they are. Yeah. That's what the Lord said. Yeah. So also parents, when we raise our children, we should be, the Bible says they should learn this first at home. We should be teaching our children how to care for their parents, even at a young age. I told my young girls there, I said, I want y'all to listen to this message this morning. I told some Matthew who was coming in. I said, I want y'all to listen to this message this morning. I said, because I'm going to talk to you all about how when grandmama get older, you all responsible to take care of grandmama. Yeah. We need to teach that in the church. It's in the Word of God. So it is not optional. You are obligated to requite your parents. That's what the Lord said. To give back to them. That's the second widow. She got children. She got parents. I mean, she got children. She got grandchildren. They are to take care of her. Amen? Amen? Then he goes back to the first widow again. He said, now she that is a widow indeed, she's an actual widow, and desolate, trusted in God and continued it in supplication and prayer night and day. Now, the word desolate means, so now we're looking at this first widow who is a widow indeed. The word desolate means she is alone and she's in need. She don't have nobody. She don't have no grandchildren. She don't have no children. She's a widow indeed. And remember we talked about before, the word trusted me. Watch this here. Her hope is in who? And she go to God in prayer, night and day. Lord, you see my condition. Lord, I don't have no grandchildren. I don't have no children. I'm by myself. And Lord, I'm trusting. I'm trusting in you, God. I'm praying to you. I'm asking you to supply what I need. And I'm going to you night and day, hoping. I'm a member here at Highland High Church of Christ, and I don't have nobody. I don't have no children. I don't have no grandchildren. And I'm by myself. And I'm hoping, Lord, I'm praying to you that you will make sure that I'm taken care of. Amen. The widow has placed her hope in God through her prayers that God will help her. Yeah. Yeah. Who else she gonna trust? So God has to work through people. But we also need to be educated on what the Word of God says so we can do what's right concerning people in the Lord's church. Understand, the Word of God, when Paul wrote this letter to Timothy and Ephesus, it was written for Highland Heights in 2023. Why? Because we can use it right now.
That's that first widow. Second widow, she got children and grandchildren. This widow, she's a widow indeed. Then you got a third widow. Verse number 6. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Turn your Bible to Genesis chapter 2. Chapter 2. Let you guys do some work on here this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Because we want to realize from Genesis chapter number 2. Let me get there with you. And the verse is number 17. God told Adam in Genesis 2:17. Well, I started verse 16. Don't want to make no assumption. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely what? Yeah. God told, they didn't die physically, but they died. You can be in the Lord's church, and you can be coming here every Sunday and still be spiritually dead. Because the word pleasure means the act of pleasing and satisfying one's fleshly desires. When we have desires that are not consistent with the will of God, those are fleshly desires. Show me in the Bible verse, God. Thank you for asking that question. Yeah. In Galatians, we're talking about the word, look at the word fleshly desire. Notice what I'm doing. I am pleasing and I'm satisfying my fleshly desires. I'll use myself as an example. I use you. You guys sometimes don't take that way. So I talk about me. Yeah. So what you doing, Brother Stroud? Now the works of the what? Flesh are manifest, which are these. And Paul begins to enumerate what fleshly desires we can have. He begins with adultery. Yeah. Let me get that so we'll be, for clarity's sake, adultery is unlawful intercourse with the spouse of another. Yeah. You married, I'm married, I go out and I have a sexual intercourse, a relationship with another woman. That is adultery. I'm allowing my desires that are not consistent with the will of God to influence me to do something that is wrong in the eyes of God. It's pleasure for me, but it's sin. Amen. Then he talks about fornication. That's, again, unlawful sexual intercourse between people can be single. Now, and the word fornication comes from a Greek word where we get the English word pornography. Sometimes you can get to getting on that computer at night. Sometimes you may get up in the morning. And you watching stuff that you ought not watch. Yeah. I want to say to all of us, go to Psalms. I think it's 101 division. That's in the Bible. Yeah. 101st division, verse number 3. Let me help us with this. Because pornography is going on in the world. It may be going on in the church. But now, when David wrote in Psalms 101, verse number 3, note what he says. I will set no wicked thing before my what? Yeah. 101 and verse number 3. 101. I see pages turning. Yeah, get there. Now, that's how I see it. I'm going to wait for you to get there. Yeah. 101 division. People call them chapters. I refer to them as divisions. Verse number 3. David said, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. So generally when we go to movies, let me help us a little bit. They are required to give a rating on the movie before you see it. You have to know what you're seeing. Let me say this to Christian, help us out. I don't own no movie. Yeah, what it is, how it is, what it's for. If the rating exceeds PG-13, I'll just do myself an example. I won't watch anything that I know of if the rating is past PG-13. And I generally don't go past PG. I don't watch R-rated movies. I don't watch nothing other than that. Because you have to train yourself. I won't set my eyes on nothing that's wicked. You sitting watching nudity, that's wicked. These are works of the flesh. Paul said uncleanness and lasciviousness. Then he talks about idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, and heresies. Yeah, let me talk about that a minute. Now notice this here. Works of the flesh also, I want to identify hatred. What is hatred, Brother Stroud? Hatred is a very strong feeling of dislike. You know, sometimes in the church, if we're not careful, we start hating people. That's sinful. You know, sometimes you can hear about a person, and when you hear about them, you know you don't care for them because it kind of bothers you that something good happened to them. That tells you that's the first quality. You don't like that person. You know, somebody said, man, you know, Brother so-and-so got a new car. Yeah. See, sometimes we sin in our heart. Yeah. And I want to bring, it's my responsibility to bring these things to not only, but first bring to my attention, then to yours. We could be sitting here and we don't care for other people. I don't like that person and you just think you're worshiping. No, you need to, before worship, you need to call that person, and I've had to do this before, call this person before worship starts and say to that person, brother, I want to apologize for what I said, apologize for what I did. Do you accept my apology? Some of us need to do that. Yeah. And let me say this here to some of us. Don't you think that others don't know that you don't care for that person? People talk. They walk and... And not only that, Paul talks about strife. That's when me and somebody else are having an angry disagreement about something. And other people see you out there fussing and arguing. That's sinful. Brother, I go to brother and I can't get him to, hold on, man. I'm not finna argue about this. Look here, bro. No, you're not. No, you're not. Look here, bro. That's okay. I tell you what. Let's just calm down. And let me give you some time. Yeah. And let me get some space, and then we'll come back together. No one should see Christians out there fussing. Paul said, envying, murders, and drunkenness, reveling, and such like. Yeah, let me stop to hit this here, because I hit it before. I want to just tell us this here. When it comes to drunkenness, yeah, let me share this. Drunkenness in the text means to be intoxicated. In other words, I'm affected by alcohol or drugs. But let me share this with all of us. Drunkenness is a progression. I have to first start drinking. Nobody start off drunk.
But it is a progression. I get to a point, someone said, man, you was drunk last night. Man, all I did, I started off, y'all know what you did.
And then Paul said, and such like. Now, the point being about pleasure, simple pleasure, he said, of the which, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time. This ain't my first time sharing this with you all, Paul told them, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of. You ain't going to heaven. You can't practice and live like this here and think you're going to heaven. You're not. You're not. You're not. So I got to change. The word of God has to influence me to change my behavior. And so Paul said about that a third woman, that she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she lives. I just wanted to show you what the flesh is, the desires of the flesh. And he said, and such like. Well, that ain't in the pornography in the Bible. That's the such like. Yeah. Anything that fits in that category. Yeah. They didn't have cable TV back when they first wrote the Bible. They ain't have no computer when they first wrote the Bible. That's why Paul said, such like. Anything that fits in this category. Then he said, and these things give charge. Watch this here now, that they may be blameless. Paul says the church does not want to be at fault for caring for someone that God has given orders to do so. We want to be blameless. That these things, he said, he told Timothy, give instructions in because part of what you have money for is to do what God said to do. But if any, you know, I had to study this because it helped me to see something. Paul said, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and it's worse than infidel. Now, Paul, I know we use this sometimes when we talk about married men, but Paul in the text was talking about children and grandchildren. If any man that have a mother and a grandmother don't provide for them, especially if she living with you, Paul said you have denied the faith. If a Christian child or grandchild does not care for the wants and needs of their mother or grandmother, especially one living with them, this is sinful in the sight of God. Yeah. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Go there. Go back to Ephesians. Ephesians 6 and the verse is number 2. Paul said to children. He first said in verse 1, I started 1. That's good to know also. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, you are to obey your parents. Amen. Then he tells the children to honor their father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou may live long on the earth. It's the responsibility of children, male children, to provide for the wants and the needs of their mother and grandmother. Amen, somebody. That's what the Lord says. Yeah. But if any does not do this, especially if she living with you, Paul said, you are not even behaving like a Christian. You like one that's an unbeliever. Then he says,
let not a widow be taken into the number. The word, anytime you see the word score in the Bible, and you see a number next to it, just multiply it by 20. So you go 3 times 20 is what? 60. He said, let not a widow be taken into the number under 60 years old, having been the wife of, she only had one husband. She'd been married once. Yeah. So now, I want us to see this, that the widow's age and her manner of life are qualifications that must be considered. Because Paul said then, he qualified what type of widow we talking about. First of all, she can't be under the number, under 60. Also, she has to be a widow indeed. She don't have nobody. She's left alone. Paul said not only that, she's well reported of good works. If she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work, she is a godly woman. Ain't no question about it. There's some sisters you can ask about how they are, and right on top you say, man, she's a good woman. Because that's her manner of life. That's how she is. So Paul said to that first woman, that first widow, if she's 60 years old, she's only been married once, and she has these qualifications or this spirit as a Christian. You know, she has a hospitable spirit. She'll take care of people. She'll care for people. She give to people that are in need. Paul says, this woman should be taken care of. Amen? That's the first sister again. Let me get to this fourth sister. He said, but younger widows refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry. The word refuse means decline to put them, you don't put them on the list. The younger women. Said younger women, now he's talking about in a negative in this text. He said, because you know what? Some sisters, they'll just go out there and get something. Yeah, they'll just go marry a pair of pants. Yeah. He said, you refuse them. You refuse them. Yeah. No, she young enough. Her husband dead. Yeah. Let her go out there and get her a J-O-B. That's what the Lord said. Yeah. But she said, he talking about this woman here. This sister here. She kind of like that sister that like pleasure. The word wanton in the text means to become carnal in your behavior. Fleshly desire. I'm just trying to find me something. I need somebody. You know, there's some sisters, you always got to have somebody on your arm. Yeah. Yeah. Whether he married to you or whether he not married to you. Yeah. That's something that you have to work on. Amen. We all come in with issues. But Paul said this woman, refuse her. See, because when she began to want, when she become cardinal, notice now, against Christ, not for Christ, when she start moving away from Christ, she going to find somebody. Here. He says, having damnation because, notice what she did, she has cast off her first faith. Yeah, so what she done is, her behavior, now, the word damnation means condemned behavior. Because she done threw Christ away. Now she messing with this guy. She ain't married to him. And she kind of hidden missing on where she used to be faithful. Now she ain't coming like she's supposed to. And she letting him influence her. Oh, girl, you ain't need to go to church. You go enough anyway. Yeah. You need to get rid of that person. And then Paul says about her, this is number 4,
He said,
and withal, they learn. See, young sisters, he's talking about now.
They learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. Not only are they idle, but they're tattlers. Also, and busybodies, speaking things which they are not. When you become idle, now you are unfruitful to the Lord. And Paul says, not only that, they're going from house to house and you talking about stuff you ought not talk about. See, be careful when you get with sisters. Be careful, sister, when you get together. And all of a sudden, you can start off with good conversation. Next thing you know, it starts sliding low. You start talking about people. Child, you know what I heard? Paul said, that's what happened. And then busybody, well, you know, I think she should have went out and did this anyway. I don't think she should have done that. I don't know why she did that. Leave people business affairs alone. That's sinful. That's gossiping. Any of us that go around talking about other people and their situation and condition, talk to the person about it. If you're really trying to help them, talk to them. Hey, brother, can I talk to you for a minute? Yeah, I just want to share something with you. Let me make a source of encouragement to you. Paul said, notice, they're speaking things they are not. Then he says, verse 14, concerning these younger women. Yeah, we teach it another way, but this is what the text is saying, because he's talking about when you study text, you got to understand who the conversation is about in the conversation. Who's the antecedent? Who he talking about? He talking about young widow. He said, "Them young widows, I will therefore," he identifies them. He said, younger women, your husband had died, get married. Bear children. Guide the house. Give no occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully of you. In other words, the word guide means to manage the home. So go out and get married. Yeah, Paul said that, I will therefore, he's encouraging them. Now, you don't have a husband? God, get one. Have children? Manage the house. Can I get a job? If you want to. Yeah. Let me say this here. Let me drop this while I'm going through this territory. There is no successful scripture where God has commanded the wife to work. That's okay. That's okay. There is no successful scripture in the Bible that commands the married woman to work. Yeah. We don't know if Lydia had a wife. Yeah. Now, the wife chose to go out and get a job. Nothing wrong with that. But, sister, when you go out there and get that job and you become a CEO and you running things, you running businesses, don't you forget what God has commanded you to do. That was God the house. So you can go out there and be big as you want to be. You can be the principal, you can be CEO, you can be ever, but don't do everything that you want to do and fail to do what God has commanded you to do. Then you got to stand before God and God gonna say, sister, I commanded you to manage your home. Yeah. Your children like they are because you out there making big bucks. Yeah. Just because you driving them in the bin, their behavior is like, yeah, be careful that you don't look at, see, because sometimes I can want to be all this for myself. But understand this, that God is going to call you on what he has commanded you to do. Yeah. Let me finish up here. Then he said, for some, still talking about those sisters, those young sisters. For some have already, turned aside after Satan. Some women already been influenced. Your husband in the past. Now you don't want to get married no more, so you just doing your thing. Paul said those sisters already, they left the Lord and they followed Satan. Yeah. And understand this here. There's only three influences in the world today.
Three. I can be influenced by the devil. That's one. I can influence myself. Sometimes we do stuff because we want to do it. Thirdly, I can be influenced by, notice this now, get this here. I can be influenced by the Holy Spirit in the sense that the Holy Spirit gave the word to men, men wrote it down, so it influences my behavior. That's it. Paul said, Jesus is letting the devil influence them. Then he says, as I conclude, if any man, he's already talked about the man, then he said, or woe man that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. So he talked about again that second widow at the beginning. If you got a widow and she got children, whether now he says, whether it be men, male or female children, and they believe they're supposed to take care of the widow. Amen. And he says, let them relieve them. Relieve means to provide what is necessary. It's those children or grandchildren responsibility to whatever needs your mother or grandmother have, you ought to relieve them, whether you're male or female. Amen. He said, why? Because the church shouldn't be charged. She got children. She got grandchildren. And that's one of the qualifications we have with those that work in that area of relief. The first thing you want to find out is, what resources do they have? Because sometimes you'll have members want to call on the church first. And if we're doing our due diligence, we want to find out, wait a minute, Gustav, do you have family? Yeah, I got family. Okay, Gustav, help you go there. But sometimes, we done burned bridges with our family. They don't want to have nothing to do with. So we come to the church, but we need the church. We need to do our due diligence. Yeah. So, and then sometimes you have members, well, you know, they're not. No, do what the Lord say do. Paul said, and let not the church be charged. Why, Paul? That it may relieve them that are widows indeed. If we have a widow that meet the qualifications that God has given, therefore be supported by from the church treasury. Any Christian that has a parent who is a widow, they should offer assistance to them that the church may provide assistance to those that are widows indeed. In conclusion, the early church supported homes in which destitute widows lived and were provided assistance from the church treasury. That's proper teaching. Yeah. That's what the Lord said. Yeah. So, Paul began talking about proper relationships. And in that, evidently, in Ephesus, you had widows that were not being cared for properly. So, not only did it apply in the first century, but it applies to Highland Heights now. Here. Yeah. And so those that are our fiduciaries and those that we need to investigate and find out what's going on in the lives of members. And if they meet God's qualification, we are to provide support for them. That's not optional. That's That's what the Lord says.
Honor widows that are widows indeed.
Amen. If you're here this morning, and I talked about the church, yeah, I said we want you to be a part of the church. We want you to understand what I'm going back to. I'm staying in Timothy level because Paul, in writing to Timothy, said something to him. 1 Timothy 2 and 6. He talked about what Christ did. And I want you here, you're busy here this morning, I want you to understand, Christ gave himself a ransom for me and for you. Bible said to be testified in due time. What does ransom mean, Brother Sprout? That means if you know about, you've seen when people will hold somebody hostage and hold them up for a ransom. Ransom means you got to pay something for somebody to be released. So the word means something paid for the release of someone from captivity. We will have, and you are now held captive by your sins. What Christ did, Christ gave up his life in atonement for sin, and it holds good for those that are obedient to the conditions stated in the Bible. In other words, Christ was nailed to a cross for all of our sins. And if we now do what Christ says, our sins will be forgiven. So Christ said, first of all, and that's five, you're here this morning, because we want you to understand, we want you to come down this morning and become a Christian. Jesus said, all these is what Jesus said, but he said, ye rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Yeah, you got to hear from God. And then you got to, the word keep it means to do it. What I need to hear. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that they believe on him who he sent. You got to believe that God the Father sent Jesus' Son to live on this earth. He gave himself a ransom for you. He died for your sin. They buried him in a tomb. He rose 3 days later. That's what you got to believe. Okay, Brother Stroud, I heard it. I believe that. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. Then Jesus said, I tell you, nay, that except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. In other words, whatever life you've been living now, you've been living away from the Lord. You need to repent. Repentance starts with you turning to the Lord. I hear what you're saying, Brother Stroud. I want to turn to Christ. That begins repentance. Okay? So I heard the gospel. I believe that. Now, and I repent of my sins. I'm turning from the life I'm living. What else I need to do, Brother Stroud? Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men. What are you don't confess your sin. We all know we have sinned. You confess Christ before men. You'll come down here this morning and you'll say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Jesus said, if you do that, then I'm going to confess before God the Father, which is in heaven, that I know you. That's the confession. And then Jesus said unto them in Mark 16, 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I told you the gospel is the three facts, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what you got to believe. I'm preaching that. I'm doing it to everybody. Yeah. And then Jesus said, he that believeth and is, now you got to be baptized, shall be saved. You're here this morning, you are not saved until you're baptized. You are still in your sins. And Jesus said in one scripture, in Acts 8, 21, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. So I'm letting you, I want you to know clearly in love that if you die in your sins, you cannot go to heaven. Jesus said, but he that is baptized shall be saved from their past sins. Yeah. You got to be baptized. And so we find, as I go back to the first scripture, praise God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord will then, once you are water baptized, the Lord will add you to the church. Why? Because you've been saved from your sins. You say, what is the church? The church is a spiritual body of baptized believers. You're called out from the world over which Christ rules as the head. There's only two places to be. You need to be in the world or you can be in the church. No, you can't be in between. If you are not baptized in proper teaching from someone in the Lord's church, then you are still in the world. Once you are baptized, now the Lord adds you to the church. And then what church I am? The Bible tells in Romans 16:16, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. So if you're here this morning, I want to encourage you. My encouragement, you come down this morning, you give me your hand, you get the Lord your heart, you understand the teaching, you come down this morning, you say, Brother Stroud, I understand the teaching, I want to be added to the church, I don't want to die in my sins. You showed me everything you showed me, you giving me book, chapter, and that's all for that. So if there's someone today, Brother Gulis is going to come up and sing us an invitational song. That song is for you that need to respond to the word of God to come up. If there's some member, you need to respond from the subject message. That invitation is given to you as together we stand and sing a verse of a hymn. Thank you very much.
There's a fountain free, tis for you.
We bid you to come. We bid you this morning.
Let us haste, oh haste, to its spring. Tis the fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Fountain